Okay, we have a thumbs up over there. Looks good to me. The name of the message this morning, the title of the message, which is up on the screens, God Will Take Care of You. So during the current time period in which we are living, especially these last days, we need to be reminded of a very comforting promise from God, that is, God will take care of you. So Melanie and children that came forward, God will take care of you. Will not parents do anything to provide for their children, even take extreme measures? How much more God will take care of his children? A contemporary song states that God is a good, good Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And he is our Almighty Heavenly Father. And it's not cliche to say that he can do anything. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 reads, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In the Bible, we have many examples of how God can and will take care of us. The Bible is loaded with that. I want to begin with Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. And in some Bibles, this is called, my Bible, in the NAS version, is called A Cure for Anxiety. And boy, do we need that today. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, Jesus speaking, this was part of the Sermon on the Mount. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." If God gave you life, he will provide food to sustain it. If he gave you a body, he will give you clothes. Now, in this country, most people don't have to be concerned about food or clothing, but we all have needs, whether material or spiritual. God will supply all our needs. He's our Father and the Heavenly Father. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And God, with his great, great heart, he's given us our wants too. How many times we didn't need something, but we thought it was nice, and we wanted it, and God, with his great, great heart, gave it to us. Verse 26, "If God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you?" And sometimes God uses people to take care of birds. Some people now this late August might be reseeding their front lawns or backyards. The birds just love it. So sometimes God uses people to feed the birds. Not that he needs people, but he does. He does use people. And at times, we all worry about something, but the Lord doesn't want us to worry. How many times do we fall into worry? How will this be? How will this work out? How many times have we gone to bed worrying about something? But someone once said, before you go to bed, give your troubles to God. He'll be up all night anyway. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 reads, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And how many times do we get anxious? And this verse says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And it says casting. Notice it says casting. Do you ever watch someone go fishing? When they cast that rod out, they're like this. And that's what the Lord is saying. Throw your problems on me. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. Cast your cares on me. If something matters to you, it matters to God. Remember that. He's not an aloof God, way out there in outer space. He's right there with you. And he knows how you feel. If something matters to you, it matters to God. Remember that. Roy Lesson used to write in cards. I don't know if he still does. He was writing greeting cards, get well cards, whatever. And one of his writings is, whatever your trial, God sees. Whatever your struggle, God knows. Whatever your cry, God hears. Whatever your difficulty, God cares. Whatever your problem, God understands. Whatever your need, God provides. Worry can't add a single hour to our lives, but it certainly can shorten our lives. Is there anything that we could bring to God that he can't handle? As we always say, you'll never stump him. Whatever you bring to God, he's greater. And let's remember, these aren't just nice sayings. These are absolute truths. He can do anything. I have a note at home that states, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So have a good day. I love you. Jesus is co-created, knew, and knows what worry can do to the human body. Digestive problems, headaches, you name it. Worry can really do a job on the human body. So he taught us not to worry. Instead, he wants us to just trust him. And he's like telling us, I'm there for you. I could handle it. I'll take care of it. Stop worrying. God can do everything. So he wants us to trust him for everything. Everything, that is. And God is even concerned about the wildflowers in the fields that no one is cultivating or caring for. No one except God. He's caring for those wildflowers. He gives the flowers beauty, even for blooms for just a day. But God's concerned even with the flower. And he makes it bloom for one day. Now it says over here, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Solomon was a very rich king. And it says over here, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If the Lord is concerned about wildflowers that no one is caring for, won't He care for you? People who don't know God may worry, but those of us who know the Lord shouldn't worry about what we need, whatever it may be. God will supply all our needs, and that's biblical. He is a rich God and a good, good Father. What a loving Father He is. He is our almighty Heavenly Father. And verse 33, we know this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This verse shows the condition for God's blessing and providence. His interests are to come first in our lives. As the song Abba states, your thoughts define me. God's thoughts should define us. We want His thoughts to define us. What we say, what we do, how we live, His thoughts should define us. He is our Heavenly Father, our Creator. We need to put the Lord first in every aspect of our lives and seek more and more of Him into our lives. He must be our top priority, and He certainly deserves to be our top priority in life. Then we can be assured that He will take care of everything for us. We don't need to worry about tomorrow or the future, because God will take care of that too. How many times do we think, how will this be? How will this work out? And God has it all planned. While we're worrying, and we're going to see this in our next reading, while we're worrying about something, God already has it solved. He knows exactly what He's going to do. So bring your problems to Him. Dump it on Him. Throw it. Cast it on Him. He could handle it. Now, a very interesting event occurred in 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verses 1 to 17. I'll give you a moment to get there. Second Kings chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. We will read verses 1 to 17. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Then he said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us go over into the camp of the Arameans, which the Arameans were the Syrians. If they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will but die. They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. Excuse me. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank, and came and carried their silver and gold and clothes. And they went and hid them. Carried from silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went there and hid them. Then they said to one another, We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were. The gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we will capture them alive and get into the city. One of his servants said, Please, let some men take 5 horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of the Arameans, saying, Go and see. They went after them to the Jordan. And behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then the measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke to him when the king came down to him. Now there was a severe famine, and just some background information, there was a severe famine in Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Syrians had besieged the city. They surrounded it, and they were going to overtake it, and no food could get in. There was a severe famine. And the famine was so bad in Samaria that cannibalism was occurring. And the people of Israel were in a crisis. As we read, they were hungry. Now these leprous men made a decision to enter the camp of the Syrians. And in the beginning of the chapter shows us that while we are busy worrying about our problem, the Lord is developing circumstances to solve it. That's when Elisha said, Listen to the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. See, God already had the answer. There was the famine. cannibalism was occurring, and while everyone was concerned and worried, and naturally there were worried, no food, God already had the answer. While we're worrying, how will my problem be solved? What will I do? How should I handle this? God has it solved already. He knows what he's going to do. So while we are worrying, God already knows how he's going to solve our problem. The crisis was the famine in Samaria. But God caused these four lepers to decide to enter the camp of the Syrians and take the goods and the supplies. And what's really marvelous what occurred. God made the Syrian army to hear an event that didn't even exist. The Syrian army heard the sound of invading armies when nobody was even there. There's no army around. And God made the Syrian army hear a sound of invading armies when there was nothing and no one in the area. Can God do anything? Sure could. And the sound was so real that the army fled and left their belongings behind. They fled so fast, they left everything behind. They thought these invading armies are going to kill us. They ran, left the food, the clothing, or whatever else. God can do anything, which you're not even thinking about. How will God solve? We don't know, but he will. God can do anything. And Jesus is the Christ of every crisis, as we sang this morning. If the solution to your problem, your crisis, requires a miracle, God can do it. Don't doubt him. Don't shortchange his power. If it requires a miracle, God can do it. When we can't see any way out, God can. Sometimes we think there is no way out because we can't see it. But there is a way out. God can see it. He's never short on ideas. Look around you at creation. Plants, animals, outer space, the oceans, whatever. God is never short on ideas. How great is our God, as we sing. Is there anything too difficult for him? We sang that this morning. God told that to Abraham, and he told it to Jeremiah. Is anything too difficult for me? Whatever the Lord says or declares will come to pass, even if it seems impossible. There is no impossibility with God. It doesn't exist. That's a word in our vocabulary. Impossibility doesn't exist with God. There is something else we could remember during our times of trials, problems, and crises. We know that even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. Before Jesus was crucified, the cross was known as a symbol of hatred and shame and criminality. But when Jesus was crucified, the cross became a symbol of love, of forgiveness, redemption, and healing. And we can view the cross as the cross of every crisis. Take all your cares, your worries, your problems, your crises to the foot of the cross. There is nothing that cannot be fixed, solved, restored at the foot of the cross. There is no impossibility with God. That's only a word in our vocabulary. There are no impossibilities at the foot of the cross. There is infinite power at the foot of the cross. Jesus took the hatred, the shame, and criminality of crucifixion and made the cross an infinite powerhouse of restoration and redemption. I just want to repeat that. Jesus took the hatred, the shame, the criminality of crucifixion and made it an infinite powerhouse of restoration and redemption. Thank you, Jesus. He is the Christ of every crisis. Whatever you're thinking about this morning as a problem, God has it solved already. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Over the years, God has not changed and never will. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We can always trust him no matter what the problem is. I'm sure we all have problems this morning. I've got something in the back of my mind now. But God can handle it. I don't know how God's going to handle it. I don't know what he's going to do. But I know he can be trusted. It would be a good idea to look back in our lives and see how Jesus has taken us through each crisis. He walked or carried us through each one, whether it was a sickness, a heartache, a financial crisis, or a job loss. You remember the poem, Footprints in the Sand? And the man looked back and said, "During the worst times of my life, you left me. There's only one set of footprints." And Jesus said, "No, I didn't leave you. I carried you." That's the way God is with us. He's still delivering those in bondage, healing the sick, mending broken hearts, restoring losses, and even raising the dead. He's still at it. But God. Too many times we limit God or leave him out of the equation completely. To say that he can do anything is not a pretty saying or a saying that sounds nice. It's absolute truth. As we sang this morning, it is no secret what God can do. Do we truly realize who we are talking to when we pray? Is there any limit to his love, his wisdom, his power? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I don't think so. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Our impossibilities are God's opportunities. He is the Christ of every crisis. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In closing, I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That's our God. God will take care of you. So I'm going to close there. If anyone would like to raise a prayer, please do raise a prayer to conclude the service. I know some people are not here who normally raise a prayer, but each one of you can do it. Even if it's short, that's okay. Then we'll sing a last hymn.